you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Hebrews 12:28. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, September 2nd, 2025. We're picking right up where we left off last Wednesday, as this will conclude our series, What It Means to Follow Jesus. And last Wednesday and today, looking at Living a Life of Worship by Pastor Buddy Owens, a part of Saddleback Church. Tomorrow we'll start a brand new series that'll go for a couple months, titled 40 Days of Prayer, and we'll look at Do You Really Want to Grow in Prayer? So that'll be tomorrow, and then on the next coming Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we'll go through that new series by Pastor Rick Warren, 40 Days of Prayer. Here's Buddy Owens talking about where worship isn't just a Sunday activity, it's a lifestyle. It's about inviting God into your everyday circumstances, no matter what you're facing. Here's Pastor Buddy Owens of Saddleback Church on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
And the Bible says, blessed are those who have learned to welcome the Lord into the arena of their life, because they walk in the light of God's presence. Now, what does that mean, to walk in the light of God's presence? To walk in Scripture doesn't mean to just put one foot in front of the other. It's talking about a lifestyle. It's talking about how you live all of life. And those who learn to welcome the Lord into their situation then live, move, have their being in the light of God's presence. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that why we come to church? Isn't that why we read the Bible? Because we're looking for a sign of God's presence. What would it be like if you could live all of life in the presence of the one who is the healer? To live and experience all of life in the presence of the one who is the counselor, the one who is the comforter. To experience all of life in the presence of the one who is the Prince of Peace. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim, to welcome him into their presence, because then they live their life in the light of God's presence. And what do we find in his presence? We find peace, mercy, grace, forgiveness, love, joy, provision, healing, all of that is available to us in God's presence, but we have to make ourselves available to God's grace. We worship the Lord. We welcome him into our presence, bring ourselves into alignment with the throne of grace, stand in the river of his grace, feast at the king's table of everything that God has available and wants to make available to us. So write this down. Worship invites God into my circumstances. Worship invites God into my circumstances. He's not going to force himself on you. He's waiting for you to issue the invitation. So worship is not for God's benefit. Worship is for your benefit. So we talked about what worship is, declaring worth and value, which requires the discovery. We're going to get into that discovery in a moment. And why we should worship, so that we are aligned with God's authority, his rulership, and available to his grace. And if that's what you want in your life, then the next question is, well, how do I do that? How should I worship? Well, here's the starting point. Worship begins by saying thank you. Worship begins with saying thank you. Two very simple words that can be so difficult to say, so difficult to remember. It's so easy for us to forget the things God has done. I don't know about you, but my confession is that so often when I'm just travailing in prayer, begging God to do something, when he does it, I forget to say thanks. I just move on to the next crisis instead of stopping and recognizing what he's done and giving him the praise for it and thanking him. But worship begins with saying thank you. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 4. It says, "We enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." So you enter the gates with thanksgiving. Then you cross the courts with praise. It starts by saying thank you. Hebrews 12, 28 says this, "Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably," or with reverence and awe. So gratitude is a key to worship. And here's why. Because gratitude forces us to stop and look back at what God has already done for us. It forces us to take some kind of an inventory of his past acts of faithfulness and provision in our life. That's what gratitude does. And the reason that's important is because when you look at what God has done, you begin to discover who God is. You thank him for the things he does, and then you begin to worship him for who he is. When I write it down, when I thank God for what he does, I worship him for who he is. Because God's activities are demonstrations of his character. He saves because he's the Savior. He heals because he is the healer. He provides because he is a provider. It's his nature, his character. He counsels and gives us wisdom because he is the counselor. He gives us strength and courage because he is the comforter. The things God does help us discover who he is. And so every opportunity to say thank you is an opportunity to strengthen our faith in God and to strengthen our faith for prayer. Thanksgiving reminds us of who God is, and when we remember who he is, then we welcome him once again into our circumstance. So I could say, "Lord, I want to thank you that you have met my needs, that you have provided. And I know now that you're the provider. And so I welcome you into this situation I'm facing. Lord, I want to thank you that you healed my daughter when she was a baby and the doctor said there's no hope. But because you did that, I know you're a healer. Because of what you did, I know who you are. And so I welcome you as the healer into my situation. Lord, I thank you that you got me through that last trial that I was going through, that last struggle. You gave me wisdom. And because you did that, I now know that you're the counselor. And so, counselor, I welcome you into my world. I welcome you into this arena that I'm facing." Thanksgiving, when we thank God for what he does, we begin to recognize who he is, and it enables us then to welcome him into whatever it is that we're facing. And when we come to him in prayer, we then ask boldly and confidently based on who he is, on his character, not on ours, because God doesn't change. He is the Almighty God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is consistent. And so we can worship him, align ourselves with his authority, align ourselves with his grace, make ourselves available, welcome him into our world and into anything that we're facing. That's what it means to express worship. And there are so many ways that we can express worship to God. We can worship him through our songs, just like we've been doing this morning, by singing. You see, singing is not optional. There are 137 verses in the Bible telling us to sing to the Lord. So it's important to him. It's something he wants us to do. In fact, the Bible tells us that God himself sings. So when we sing together, when you hear the songs that are being led here on a Sunday morning, well, that's not the warm-up act for the preacher. It's a way for us as a congregation to remember that we are all a part of the family of God. We're all a part of the body of Christ. And it gives us one common statement of our faith that we sing together. It enables us to experience worship together as the people of God. Singing to the Lord is important. Doesn't matter if you don't think you can sing. God doesn't care what your voice sounds like. If he didn't like it, he'd give you another one. You just sing to the Lord. So we can worship through singing. We also worship God through prayer. We've also done that this morning. Because when you pray, prayer itself is an act of worship because you are declaring by praying that you believe God can handle whatever it is you're bringing to Him. So prayer is worship. We worship the Lord by applying the Word of God to our lives, like we're doing right now. We worship God by telling other people the story of what He's done for us, by sharing our faith, by declaring His worth that we've discovered to the people around us, whether they're believers or not, sharing the story of faith. We also worship God through our giving, how we give our time, how we give our energy, our resource, the things we live for. What are we spending our life on? We worship God by the way we give in our tithes and offerings. An offering, when we receive the offering on a weekend service, you know, it's kind of sad, but some people think that that's the cue to run for the door. It's like, okay, Mabel, head for the door. Don't get hit by the plate, because here it comes. But offering a worship, offerings and tithes are an expression of worship. They're an expression of gratitude. It's a way of saying, God, I want to thank you that you met my needs. God, I'm acknowledging that everything I have comes from you. Even my ability to work and earn wealth is a gift from your hand. And so I give back to you out of what you've already given me. It all belongs to you anyway. A song says, I'm awestruck with wonder at your name. And that leads us to this next verse. What does the name of the Lord mean? Look at what the Bible says. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He's done. This is a roadmap of worship. He says, give thanks. We've already talked about that. He says, make known among the nations what He's done. The nations means people who don't know Jesus, that don't know God like we do. Make known to them. Tell them your story. That doesn't mean you got to beat them over the head with it, but just be ready to tell the story of what God has done in your life, what He means to you. It's a way of expressing, of declaring His worth. But I want us to focus for a moment on this phrase, call on His name. What does it mean to call on His name? To call on the Lord, it's an interesting word that the writer uses there in Hebrew. To call on the Lord means to call it forth. And there's actually two different levels of meaning here. On the one hand, it means to summon forth. Write that down. To summon forth. We call the name of the Lord into our presence. We call the name of the Lord, invite Him by name into our situation. So it means to summon forth, but it also means to send forth, to send His name ahead of you. And why is it important to summon and send the Lord's name ahead of you? What is it that's in His name? Well, throughout Scripture you find that God's names reflect His character. God's names reflect His character. We know Him by name because it tells us who He is. And we know who He is by the things that He has done for us. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is Provider. It is His name. It is His character. He is Counselor. He is Almighty, All-Powerful, All-Knowing. That is His name. It is also His character. So when we summon Him by His name, we also then send Him forth into our circumstance by His name. Let me give you a simple picture of what this means. Most people who know me by the name of Buddy. Everybody say, hi, Buddy.
Hi.
There are four people in the world who know me by a different name. They call me Daddy. Dad, I'm Dad, that's my name. But there's meaning in the name Dad for them. Because to them, the name Daddy means banker. It also means friend. It means counselor. It means protector. And the name Dad also means killer of spiders. And there have been so many occasions, especially when my kids were little, when I would be summoned by name, Daddy, killer of spiders, come and kill the spider. I was summoned by name, summoned forth, and then sent forth to accomplish the task for which I had been summoned. When we call on the name of the Lord, we summon him forth. Healer, come and heal. Counselor, I need wisdom. Go before me into this situation. Defender, protector, I'm summoning you into my life and sending you ahead of me. My guide, my counselor, I summon you ahead of me. Send me with wisdom. Go before me. Peacemaker, Prince of Peace, I summon you. I worship you. That's who you are. I welcome you and acclaim you into my world. And now I send you out into that arena as the Prince of Peace to bring peace like only you can into that situation, that relationship, that strife in my life. We call on the name of the Lord. We summon him. We acclaim him. And the Bible says that those who learn to acclaim him, to welcome him, then walk in the light of his presence. That's what it is to express worship. That's what it is to call on his name. And we know his names based on the things that he has done for us in our life, on the things that we read about in his word that tells us who he is. And as we discover who he is, we thank him for what he does. It builds our faith to once again call on him. Savior, save me. Redeemer, help me. Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need your healing. So I call on you by name and invite you into my life. That's what it is to live a life of worship. And as you see God begin to move, you see worship, acclaiming him, calling him by name, opens the door to the rulership and the power and the presence of God into every arena of your life. He is waiting to invade your life with his presence. Call on him by name. And I want to give you the chance to do that right now. We're going to pray together, but I want to ask you something. By what name do you need to worship the Lord today? By what name do you need to call on the Lord? In whatever challenge you're facing, whatever circumstance you're looking at, in whatever is going on in your life, by what name do you need to call on the Lord today? I've written a list of his names there in your notes. There are a lot more, but I just put 12 of them there. Look at those names. Do you need to call on the Lord as Savior? Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and you need to be forgiven of your sins. You need to be saved. Or maybe you need to call on him as the Redeemer, the one who buys back everything that has been lost by our own mistakes or the things that were done to us by other people. Lost opportunities, lost relationships, lost innocence. He's a Redeemer. Do you need to call on him as the Provider? You're facing some financial crisis and you need the Lord to meet a need. Do you need to call on him as healer? To heal your body, to heal your mind, to heal a relationship, to heal a broken dream. Do you need to call on the Lord today as a deliverer? To set you free from some kind of bondage, some addiction, some habit that you need freedom from, and you call on him as deliverer. Do you need to call on him today as counselor because you're facing some things and you don't know what to do and you need God's wisdom? Call on him as counselor. Do you need to call on him as comforter, the one who gives strength? Do you need to call on him as friend to just walk beside you through this time of your life? Do you need to call on the name of the Lord today as your protector, your defender? Maybe you're being falsely accused and you need the Lord to defend you. Do you need to call on him as the sustainer, the one who supplies your strength and nourishment and all of life? Do you need to call on him as the restorer, the one who rebuilds? Or do you need to call on the Lord today as the Prince of Peace to bring peace into your life, peace into your mind, peace in your home, your marriage? By what name do you need to call on the Lord? I want you to look at that list and I want you to circle one name because we're going to pray in a moment. Circle the name that you're going to call on the Lord today. Now let's bow our heads. And let me lead you in a time of prayer. First, I want you to think back. I want you to take an inventory. What has the Lord already done for you? What can you say thank you for? No matter how bleak, no matter how dark, no matter how hopeless your situation might seem, there is something you can be thankful for. Just thank Him. And now from your heart, with complete honesty, nothing hidden, nothing held back, in spirit and truth, just say, Lord, you know my heart. Lord, you know all my needs. You know what's on my mind. You know what I'm facing. You know what I'm afraid of. You know what I'm up against. You know what's breaking my heart. And so, Father, Lord, I'm calling on you today by your name. Now just whisper to him the name that you circled. Lord, I'm calling on your name. I welcome you into my situation with all of your power, with all of the character that's in your name. I welcome you into my situation. Lord, would you go before me in your power? I need your grace in my life. I want to walk in the light of your presence every day. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done in my life. So today, I worship you. I surrender to you. I humble myself before you. I come underneath your throne of grace, and I align my life with your authority so that your name can be glorified through me. And if you've never opened your life to Jesus, if you need to call on him today as Savior, then just pray this way in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I call on you as my Savior, and I'm asking you, would you save me? Would you forgive me of my sins? Would you make me right? Would you put me on a pathway that you want me to be on? Would you show me how to live life the way you want me to live it? I want to live for your purposes. I'm sorry for the things that I have done, and I ask your forgiveness. And I invite you to be my Savior and my Lord today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. That may have been your prayer. And if so, welcome to the family of God. If you'd like to know more about the Christian faith, can you trust the Bible, what it means to have a relationship with God, how to grow with this new knowledge that Jesus is Lord and Savior, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. You've been listening to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends with a message by Pastor Buddy Owens. He began last Wednesday and it concluded today as part 4 of our series, What It Means to Follow Jesus, Living a Life of Worship. And tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, we kick off a new series titled 40 Days of Prayer, looking at do you really want to grow in prayer? So that'll begin tomorrow and continue for the next couple months on the Tuesday and Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again, pass it on to a friend, or catch up on what you missed last week, or may miss tomorrow, stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.